Krishna consciousness are all Vaishnavas, and we can't do without Vaishnavas. And because Vaishnavas haven't just dropped out from Vaikuntha and just plopped here in Leicester, they're all human beings. So therefore, we need to reflect on how these human beings who have become Vaishnavas should relate to each other, and thereby, how can a wonderful community of devotees be established? Of course, all of you are doing wonderfully well, working together very, very nicely, cooperatively, devotedly, dedicatedly, for pushing ahead Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission here. At the same time, the subject of Vaishnava relationships is something integral to Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches us that the point of surrender to Him and pure devotional service to Him is the final conclusion. That's where the Bhagavad Gita ends. But that is where the Srimad Bhagavatam begins. It takes off from where the Bhagavad Gita leaves and takes us to the platform of the highest love for Krishna that can ever be found anywhere. The love of the Vrajavasis for Krishna. Especially the love of the gopis for Krishna. And especially the love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna. And then can we go any further? Then we come to Chaitanya Charitamrita. With all those discussions about Radha and Krishna, and the gopis and Krishna, the cowherd boys and Krishna, Vrindavan and Krishna, they all come alive in the day-to-day dealings of flesh and blood devotees just 500 years ago. So Chaitanya Charitamrita actually brings alive all those topics which may have seemed to be very abstract or very unreachable or too esoteric, and we bring them alive and give them a sense of reality, a sense of accessibility, because they're just devotees like us. They're also struggling in the world, many of them are householders. They have to worry about their family members, and there's so many things. They also have their personality issues. There's human nature at play. Someone has one kind of nature, another person has another kind of nature. So we see all these dynamics at play, even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But what brings the Chaitanya Charitamrita alive in a very special way is that the focus is exclusively on that highest prema. And that's being coordinated by none other than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is the ideal standard of Vaishnava conduct, of Vaishnava relationships. There are some situations, of course, where you would rather not imitate. For example, when the Rath Yatra festival is going on, and the deities are on the carts on the streets, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dances in front of the deities whilst the devotees are chanting the holy names, and there is a great ecstatic flood that is spreading everywhere due to Mahaprabhu's chanting and dancing. Everyone is completely absorbed, and King Pratap Rudra, the king of Orissa, of Puri, he also stands there and watches in amazement at the exhibition of divine love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Maharaj Pratap Rudra's secretary and assistant, a man called Harichandan, is also there. And Srimas Thakur, the eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is standing in front And he is in complete ecstasy, oblivious to anything externally happening. And because of the ecstasy, he moves hither and thither and moves in such a way that it blocks the vision of Maharaj Pratapurudra. So Harichandan, as a faithful assistant, he taps him on the shoulder to indicate that he will not come in the way. So he taps once, twice. He keeps on doing it, but Srivas Thakur is in a completely different world, so he has no idea what's going on. But when he's repeatedly touched like that, he comes to some form of external consciousness and he turns around and gives a very hard, tight slap to Harichandan. And Harichandan is shaken up like anything. And he gets really upset, as we can imagine. And he wants to perhaps respond in a certain way to Srivas Thakur. But King Pratapurudra cautions him, don't do that. Actually, you're very lucky. You're very, very lucky to be slapped by Srivas Thakur. I think your life is blessed. Your life has become perfect because you were slapped by Srivas Thakur. Then Harichandan calms down. So, of course, these are things we can't imitate. You know, we have our Rath Yatra and someone comes and dances. And we say, "Look, Srivas Thakur did it, so I can also do it." No, we can't do that. So neither should we encourage such a thing, but we understand that these are very exalted personalities, so we can't imitate them. We have to be careful about this one point. We may understand their dealings, but we can't imitate them, because they are all eternal associates of the Lord. And they're situated on the platform of Krishna Prema. And there is a saying, Vaishnaveda Kriya Mudra Vidniha Na Bujhai. It is very hard to understand the ways in which exalted devotees like Srivas Thakur, for example, may act. And one certainly shouldn't imitate them. But in general, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat and also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we see how the devotees would come every year from Bengal, they would deal with Mahaprabhu for 4 months of the year in the rainy season, the Chaturmasya in Jagannath Puri. And all they would do was take darshan of Lord Jagannath, chant kirtan, dance ecstatically, be in the association of Mahaprabhu, and of course take prasadam. And they would hear about the Lord, they would participate in various festivals. And life was just ecstasy for 4 months. They were completely oblivious of their family situation, their business, their job, their family. They were just absorbed in this association. And then after that, they would go back 8 months a year to the world, maintain their families and fulfill their other obligations in society. And of course, even at that time, they would meet together regularly to hear and chant. Whether they were in Mayapur, Navadvip, or whether they were in Sri Khanda, or whether in any other village or place, they would be doing that. There were groups of devotees who would come from different villages and towns all over. And they would meet in Puri, in a huge confluence of ecstatic devotees. So they would help each other. It wasn't an easy journey because they had to walk many, many miles. There weren't cars in those days. And most of them were not wealthy. From Navadvip would come Shivananda Sen, along with many other devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the responsibility to look after the devotees who were coming. So he would take care of the financial needs, he would do all the management, dealing with the toll and the octroi and the taxes and all the kind of booking of the boats to cross the river and such things. So he would be involved in management. There were other devotees who would help in other ways. So it was an example of a wonderful community of devotees that travel together, serve together in complete harmony. They were bound by the love of Jagannath and of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this then is the foundation of Vaishnava relationships. Our devotion to Krishna, our devotion to Jagannath, Mahaprabhu, to Srila Prabhupada, and to the Vaishnava community, to the Guru Parampara. It is this devotion that is the common thread that will bind all the devotees together and make for meaningful relationships. If the common thread doesn't exist, then these relationships will not be meaningful. Along with devotion, there must be humility, because if one is devoted, one will actually be humble. And there must be a third thing, and that's responsibility. So there must be devotion, there must be humility, and there must be responsibility. If in the name of devotion we neglect our services, we neglect our responsibilities for Krishna, then that will cause differences and bad feelings amongst the devotees. Let's say someone has to cook the feast and that devotee is not responsible and forgets about it or is very casual about it and leaves it halfway and does something else. And then all the devotees are waiting, when's the prasadam going to come? And they say, oh, I forgot about it, or something like that. So then how is there some devotion there? If we are devoted, then we will be extremely responsible in everything we do. For the smallest services that we do for Krishna, we will be very responsible, very careful. And when we are responsible, humble and devoted, then Vaishnava relationships will go wonderfully. But take away one of these three things and you have quarrels and differences of opinion and bad blood and maybe some tensions in the relationships and so on. Even one of these things. One may be humble also, one may be devoted also, but if one is not responsible, then that will also create conflict amongst devotees. We see it happening all the time. So being responsible means also that we do all that it takes to do something perfect for Krishna's service. And let's say there's a program being organized. And let's continue with the same example of cooking the feast for the festival. And one devotee says, well, I didn't know that I was supposed to cook. I thought he was going to cook. The other person, well, I didn't know. Nobody told me, but such and such told me he was going to cook. Well, nobody told me. You should have told me. Why didn't you tell me? Well, I didn't know. So it goes like that. Yes? Sounds familiar? Sometimes. Hope not. So these things sometimes may happen, because we may not be clear. So if we do our services, our sadhana, and everything in Krishna consciousness with a sense of responsibility, then the relationships will also remain very nice and wonderful. At the same time, if one is very, very responsible and particular about executing a certain service nicely, but is not humble, then that's also going to create a big problem. Or if one is not devoted, then it takes away the very essence of it. Krishna didn't accept Duryodhana's feast. Rather, he went to Vidura's house and accepted some very simple offerings. Vidura's wife actually gave peels of banana to Krishna. And Krishna was so overwhelmed by the devotion with which Vidura's wife had offered these banana peels. She was so flustered by Krishna's unexpected arrival that she gave the peels to Krishna and threw away the bananas in the waste bin instead of doing the reverse. And Krishna happily was eating those banana peels because he was accepting the devotion. So he took banana peels because they were offered with devotion rather than accepting a grand feast that was cooked by Duryodhan because Duryodhana lacked devotion. He was duplicitous. He was cunning. He had some ulterior motives. So Krishna didn't go there. So devotion is the essence of everything. So therefore devotion means that we have to do all that it takes to increase our devotion. In other words, good Vaishnava relationships can exist only when there is good Krishna consciousness. Because the center is Krishna. You know, Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of, you know, somebody throwing a pebble into, let's say, a lake which has stagnant water. And then when you throw that pebble inside, then what happens? At the point at which the pebble strikes the water, concentric circles emerge, ripples, yes? And they move outwards. Now you throw two pebbles at a certain distance from each other. What happens? The circular ripples expand, and then they come together and they clash. Similarly, but however, if you throw the two pebbles exactly at the same spot, the ripples will actually add, they will reinforce each other. There's a resonance. And it will become doubly powerful and the waves will go on expanding. So in the same way, if our center of interest, so to speak, is ourselves, if I am my center and everyone else is his or her center, and Krishna is not in the center, so we will have our expanding circles. And sooner or later, they will clash. So the crux is to keep Krishna in the center. That means to be Krishna conscious. So the higher the level of Krishna consciousness, the higher the quality of Vaishnava relationships. To the degree we are Krishna conscious, to that degree we will have very harmonious, loving, trusting relationships. One devotee had been through some bitter experience, so he said, when he heard about love and trust, I love everyone, but trust, that's a different matter. It doesn't have to be like that. So if we have a very high level of Krishna consciousness, then naturally, it's so much easier to have nice relationships with our fellow devotees. But if there's too many anarthas or unwanted things in our heart, and if we have interests other than Krishna, then that creates so many problems. There may be subtle things lurking in our hearts. So the development of our devotion for Krishna is the strongest insurance against troubled relationships in the devotee community. So what does one do to increase our devotion for Krishna? What are the things we will do to increase our devotion? Number one? Yes?
Devotional service?
Yes, some specific points. Simple things. Chant Hare Krishna, isn't it? You chant your japa nicely, for example. Come together, chant kirtan, just like all of you are doing for an hour. Chant kirtan together. Hear class together. Read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the other books of Srila Prabhupada together as well as individually. Worship the deities. Cook for the deities, make garlands for the deities, clean the temple, and offer various kinds of services, whether it may be administrative or it may be simple cleaning services, washing the pots, for example. So these are different types of devotional service that will always help us to purify our consciousness so that we can become more devoted to Krishna. So that our attraction to Krishna, our attachment and love for Krishna increases. The more we love Krishna, the more we will love the devotees. And the less likely is there a possibility of disturbed relationships in the, amongst the devotees. So the real crux of the matter is to love Krishna so much that we will always love everybody else. And these are the things Prabhupada said that we need to do to increase our love for Krishna. And then of course we have to be humble. On the plea of being devoted, we should not become proud, because pride and devotion don't go together. One time Srila Prabhupada was explaining in one letter to one devotee that yes, devotee means humble. He said, we call each other Prabhu, that is very nice. You should call others as Prabhu. But when others call you Prabhu, you should not think you are Prabhu. Because the word Prabhu means master, right? So when someone calls us Prabhu, then we should not think I am the master. And this person who is calling me Prabhu is my servant. Prabhupada said, we should think I am the servant of all the devotees. They are my Prabhus. Not that I am their Prabhu because they call me Prabhu. Prabhupada said, then there will be congenial relationships amongst the Vaishnavas. So this is Prabhupada's tip to us. How do we have nice relationships amongst the devotees? Each of us considers that I am the servant of the other devotees. And nobody considers that I am the master of anyone. We are all servants here. Of course, it's not a very politically correct thing to say nowadays in this post-modernistic era. One devotee one time, many years ago, after he became a brahmachari, for the first time he wrote a letter to his father. The father had been heartbroken to see his son become a brahmachari. And then now the devotee, the brahmachari, had become accustomed to devotional terminology. So when he wrote his letter, wrote the letter to his father, he signed off by saying, your servant. When the father read the letter, he was really enraged. He said, did I bring you up at all just so you can become a servant? So people have a different conception of what it means to be a servant. But being a servant of Krishna and Krishna's devotees is a glorious thing. It's a wonderful, rare opportunity. So if we all consider ourselves to be servants of the other devotees, there will never be a problem. What interferes, however? Ego, that is pride. Number two, self-interest. When I want something that's different from what Krishna may want from me. I have something separate from Krishna's interest. Or there may be a lack of sensitivity. There may be carelessness or negligence. Lack of sensitivity, lack of care, and negligence means that we are not being responsible. Let's say we're speaking to somebody and we speak carelessly, without thinking it through. We just say something. And then the other devotee feels very bad. And the devotee may say it or may not say. May not say it, but he or she would keep it in the heart. So had we been a little thoughtful when we spoke, then we wouldn't have had any bitterness in relationships. So therefore, devotion, humility, and responsibility would be the bedrock on which good, strong Vaishnava relationships can happen and a wonderful community of devotees can be built up. Of course, the subject of Vaishnava relationships is very elaborate. It's a very big topic because there's so many dimensions to cover. But as far as dealings amongst devotees are concerned, there are new devotees, there are devotees who are a little less new, and then there are devotees who are somewhat senior, and then more senior, and even more senior. So the senior-junior business also has its own dynamics. On one hand, we're expected to follow certain etiquette. And on the other hand, we're supposed to live together as a family of devotees. If the common thread is devotion, humility, and responsibility, then indeed, regardless of whether we are so-called junior or so-called senior, we will be able to live together very amicably and lovingly. At the end of the day, who is senior and who is junior? I may have come into Krishna consciousness before somebody else in this life, but the other person may go to Godhead before I do. So then, when I go back to Godhead after a couple of lifetimes, I'll see this devotee there already, very old. Yeah, well, you were junior to me, Lester. How did you? How come you made it? So we never know. We never know who's going to get there before us. We don't know how much time we're going to get there. But in any case, we must follow the external etiquette of offering respect to those who are senior to us. That's essential. It's called maryada in Sanskrit, etiquette. It's also called sadachara, good behavior. And this is part of Vedic culture. You see, relationships means culture. Unless you have a good culture, you cannot have good relationships. Today we see that the world is plagued with dysfunctional relationships. Why is that? Because we've lost our culture. There is no culture, so there's no relationships. People have become islands unto themselves. This excessive emphasis on individuality and privacy and so on and so forth, these modern ideas, they have made people unreasonably individualistic, so that we can't live with each other. So therefore relationships end up in conflict very soon. Because of the lack of culture, the lack of training in proper values like tolerance, patience, humility, understanding, and so on, people have become so impatient that a little flaw in the other person's behavior or words, it disturbs the relationship to the point of breakage. Sounds familiar? Previously, people would tolerate. Say, even in a marriage, for example, people would tolerate little disturbances in the relationship. It's not that everyone would make for each other in the previous ages, too. There were severe incompatibilities that were found there, yes. Many marriages in the old days happened without the husband and wife seeing each other till they were actually on the sacrifice. I met one devotee, he's about 79. Or 67 or something. He lives in Australia. Emigrated from India when he was a young man, soon after he married. And he said, I've been married now for more than 40 years, 43 years, and I've never had a problem in my marriage. But the first time I saw my wife was when we were sitting here in a sacrifice. Fire sacrifice. So it's not that they were completely matched. He said, I'm not like her. We're different people, he said. But we just understood that we have to cooperate. The Lord has brought us together as husband and wife, and we have to cooperate. We have to work together for a higher purpose. And so we never had problems. And even if there were little problems, then we would just adjust and it was all right. So, when we talk of Vaishnava relationships, we talk of not only the larger family of devotees, we also talk of our smaller families. The husband, wife, mother, father, children, and brothers and sisters, and so on. It is important for family members who are devotees to remember that the family members are Vaishnavas or Vaishnavis. So they must deal with them as devotees. At the same time, we can't also forget that these Vaishnavas are also our family members, so we have to fulfill family responsibilities towards them. Otherwise someone may say, well, you're just devotees. But you're a devotee, but you're also a husband, you're also a wife, you're also a son, also a father. So you have to do those duties as well. Again, responsibility. So relationships within the family also means that we have to keep Krishna in the center there. Wherever Krishna is in the center, there is harmony. Take Krishna away from the center, there is disharmony. So therefore, when it comes to a family of devotees, that is very big. The culture of respect, the culture of obedience, the culture of love, this is very important. Traditionally in the Vedic culture, you would find the elders and the younger generation, they had a relationship that was defined by certain features. In traditional culture, the younger people, how would they relate to the elders? What would they do to the elders? What would they offer to the elders?
Respect.
Respect, very good. Any other word? What else is a defining word? Respect, very good. What else? Service, excellent. And?
Care,
yes, service. Obedience. Right? There was respect, there was service, and there was obedience. But it wasn't a one-way street. So the elders also, they gave something to the younger people. What did they give? Number one?
Respect.
Love. Absolutely. What else? Shelter. Protection. Guidance. So this was the relationship. So these are the terms that define the relationship between the youngsters and the elders in the family. So similarly in our devotee family, this must be the way we move ahead. Everyone has a responsibility, everyone has a role to play. We should not pass the buck thinking it's that person's responsibility. No, it's equally mine too. Even if I am a new devotee, I also have a responsibility. So I should do the needful, I should play my role nicely. There's a nice verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam which we put up here, and I thought it was quite appropriate on the subject of Vaishnava relationships. It's a generally phrased injunction. It's meant for people at large. It was very pertinent to the Vedic culture. But specifically, it's also very relevant for us as members of the devotee community. This was spoken by Narad Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. It's in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's chant this verse, and then I'll read the translation and the purport from it. I think some of you can see this verse, perhaps some of you sitting there can't see it. But this is the day of iPads and everything, and I guess you all have it on your phones and everything, so you can check. Fourth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8. Text 34. 4.8.34. Okay, so please chant after me. Gunadhikan mudam lipse.
Gunadhikan mudam lipse.
Anukrosham gunadhamat.
Anukrosham gunadhamat.
Maitrim samanan anvichin.
Maitrim samanan anvichin.
Natape abhibhuyate.
Natape abhibhuyate.
Gunadhikan mudam lipse.
Gunadhikan mudam lipse.
Anukrosham gunadhamat.
Anukrosham gunadhamat.
Maitrim samanan anvichin.
Maitrim samanan anvichin. श्रूयते
toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. So, just by this simple behavior, one can become aloof from the threefold miseries, Narada Muni says. And the purport. Generally, when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of him. When we find someone less qualified, we deride him. And when we find someone equal, we become very proud of our activities. Meaning that we boast, I did this, I did that. You see? That's right. Okay. These are the causes of all material tribulations. The great sage Narada therefore advised that the devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified man, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to a less qualified man, one should be compassionate toward him just to raise him to the proper standard. And when one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's activities, before him, one should treat him as a friend. One should also have compassion for the people in general who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within this material world. So the threefold behavior. Three kinds of people. Those who are more qualified than us, those who are less qualified than us, and those who are equally qualified as us. So how do we behave towards those who are more qualified? Someone raise your hand please and say it. Yes? No, from this verse. Be jolly, be happy to see him. And what should you not be? Envious. So we shouldn't be envious. Oh, this one, this kind of thing seems better. You can get better class than me. Then when we meet someone who is less qualified than me, than us, then what do we do? Yes, we should be compassionate and kind instead of being angry and instead of deriding that person. And when we see someone equal to us, who is our peer, then what do? Then we develop friendship rather than being proud and boasting one's services and one's achievements and so on. Such a simple thing. You see, Krishna consciousness is such a lofty thing. But what happens is that our culture, the modern day culture, creates a kind of a mindset and a consequent behavior that doesn't quite match up to this philosophy. And Krishna playing there. And then our behavior is somewhere here, so there's a big gap between the two. So therefore, for good vibration, establishing relationships to enable everyone to reach the platform of Krishna praying eventually, there must be what is called sadachar. Sat means good, achar means behavior, not pickle. Good pickle may have other benefits, but it will not necessarily help us develop good relationships. Sadachar. But how will sadachar come? By sadvichar, by good thoughts. Good actions, good behavior will come by good thoughts. We will learn proper behavior, we will learn the proper way to deal with devotees and with the world in general when we are appropriately trained with good thoughts. And how will those good thoughts come in? By training, by teaching, by hearing. So therefore we need to discuss these things, we need to hear and talk about these things. Actually it's something that should be inculcated in people from very childhood. They should be done as a part of the upbringing. So especially our devoted children will have to be trained in proper behavior. And as much as it is important to teach them verses from the Bhagavad Gita or to make them do devotion service and so on, it is also important to actually teach them these values. Like for example, you should always respect someone who's older than you. You should always be friendly to your friend. You shouldn't be angry at him. And if there's a younger child who comes, don't torture the child. You should always be kind to him and protective to that other child. Because if these things are not taught from childhood, it becomes a part of the nature of that person. And then these will find expression in adulthood, in one's dealings with the world around. So even when one becomes a devotee, therefore, the tendency will continue. So proper behavior, proper attitudes, proper thinking has also to be cultivated properly. Without this, it is very difficult to have sat prachar. Prachar means preaching. So there must be first vichar, that means thinking, then there must be achar, which means behavior, then there is prachar, which means preaching. Otherwise, if we preach without good behavior and without good thoughts, then it won't get us very far, right? You've heard that proverb. I can't hear what you're saying. Or rather, what's that phrase? Your actions speak so loud that I can't hear what you speak. Yes? Your actions speak so loud that I can't hear what you're saying. So if I'm saying one thing and doing another thing, then that's not going to appeal very much. So therefore Srila Prabhupada many times cautioned the devotees that what will people think in one letter? He wrote, what will people think if he sees you quarreling like this? They will think that this is the Krishna consciousness movement? No. You must work together nicely for serving Krishna. So he emphasized when somebody asked him, Prabhupada, who is a Vaishnava? Or who is your disciple? He didn't say one who chants 64 rounds is my disciple or is a Vaishnava. He said one who is a Vaishnava is one who is a gentleman. Meaning that one must have sadachar. If there is sadachar, then the Vaishnava relationships will be very nice. There will be proper respect, proper etiquette, proper culture. It reminds me, I was mentioning earlier about Prabhupada's comment about Prabhu. In one vigorous lecture that I heard, Prabhupada's lecture, he speaks on this point. And he imitates somebody who thinks that he is a Prabhu, because others call him a Prabhu. And he thinks that because I'm also calling others as Prabhu, therefore I'm actually alright. So merely calling somebody a Prabhu is not sufficient, because one must feel that he is my Prabhu. So he imitates the voice of a hypothetical devotee who is calling out to another devotee. Nanda Gopal Prabhu, come here and polish my shoes. Prabhupada mimics the voice of that hypothetical devotee. He said, that is not Prabhu and Das. So we are eager to serve. And if that eagerness to serve other devotees is there, then everything will be wonderful. So, even when one becomes senior, quote unquote senior, one must be very cautious to see that seniority is not a privilege. Seniority is not a facility for getting more respect or for getting more comforts or whatever. But seniority is an opportunity to offer more service. Seniority is a responsibility to set a better example. Seniority is a responsibility to actually be more selfless and dedicate oneself with greater vigor for the devotees and for the movement as a whole. So therefore, if one is very senior, truly senior, then one will be humbler. One will have a deeper service attitude. And in this way, one will set such a good example that those who become devotees after us will be very enlivened and very inspired. And then the senior devotees will be the role models for the younger devotees. Everyone needs role models. Everything moves on the principle of inspiration and example. So an ideal devotee community must have role models and sources of inspiration, not perspiration. So when we have devotees who are acting, thinking, speaking in ideal ways, then the whole community will become energized. Of course, we are living in a real world. We are not living in an ideal world. But this is the Vaikuntha attitude, Prabhupada said. So if we all develop the Vaikuntha attitude, then we will actually make this Vaikuntha. It's all a matter of attitude. And I come now to one of my favorite quotes of Prabhupada from his Nectar of Instructions. Nectar of Instruction. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. Everywhere I go, I don't neglect to mention this. So can anyone repeat this one sentence? One more, who would like to say that? Please raise your hand. I'll say yes.
Devotional service depends on the attitude and follow.
What in devotional service?
Advancement.
Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. Okay, so I'll request at least 5 devotees individually, one after the other, to say this. Please raise your hand and just say this one sentence. Anyone? Yes. Okay, very good. Anyone else? Yes. Very nice. Someone else? Yes.
Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower.
Very nice. Fourth.
Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower.
Very nice. Finally, fifth.
Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower.
Very nice. So there's one line of Prabhupada in his preface, I think it is, in the Nectar of Instruction. It's such an important line for us. It's our sutra. It's a one-line sutra for our life. Our life depends on this one sentence. So it's a question of our attitude. If we have the right vichar, the right attitude,
then our behavior and preaching, everything will be wonderful. Sanatan Goswami, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he glorifies Haridas Thakur. And he tells him, there are some people whose behavior is exemplary, but they don't preach. There are some people whose preaching is excellent, but their behavior is not exemplary. For you, do both perfectly. Your behavior is exemplary, and your preaching is outstanding. Therefore, you are worshipable for the whole world. So this is how Sanatana Goswami glorifies Haridas Thakur, that your achar and your prachar, both are exemplary. Actually, our achar is really our prachar. More often than not, devotees feel inspired by good behavior, devotional behavior, devotional qualities, rather than merely some philosophy. Philosophy, of course, is very important. And we have to try to understand it as much as we can. We must, as Prabhupada said, scrutinizingly study his books, so that will increase and nourish our faith and our understanding and increase our devotion and taste for Krishna consciousness. At the same time, if there is somebody who may not be a big scholar or anything of the sort, but has such wonderful devotional qualities, we feel very inspired and enlightened by that person. So these are the things that will bind the devotee community together and make for very conducive, warm, loving, trusting relationships amongst the Vaishnavas. It's a big topic, but it's a very practical subject. So I think we'll stop here and leave the field open for some discussion. So if any of you have any questions or comments or disagreements, you may feel free to voice it. What is the time for me? 20 past? Yes.